Our Pauline professor is absent this morning, and as a spare tire, I'm standing in place. So when he comes back, we'll continue our Pauline epistles. Have you been blessed by the Pauline teachings?
Yes, sir.
If you've been blessed, shout hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
Today, briefly, today is a special day. It's our Thanksgiving and baby dedication service. So briefly, we'll be looking at the end time signs. The end time signs. I thought by now we should have our team cover IT. The end time signs. Every time you hear end time, end time, end time, end time. Don't just say end time because people are saying end time. You must be able to pinpoint why we are saying it is the end time. If you help me say amen. The purpose of our Bible study is to pass understanding. End time, end time, end time. Why are we at the end time? What are the signs? Because everybody, just like in this generation, everybody is born again. Even a Muslim is born again. As long as you can say after me. Prostitutes in the brothel, they are what? Born again. Are you born again? Yes. Oh, kashiba baba shibushiba baba. Everybody is born again. Yet, if you go to the scriptures, there are parameters that you can use to measure who is born again and who is not born again. The fact that you come to church, even Bride Assembly Church, doesn't mean you are born again. The fact that when they say in Jesus' name, you say amen and anointing packs you, does not mean you are born again. So don't follow the multitude to say they are born again. You be sure. Because you can call on Jesus and yet you are not born again. So when people are saying end time, end time, end time, you say end time with revelation. Somebody shout hallelujah. Don't just say end time. Don't be a parrot. End time, end time. Then tomorrow, if there's no end time, you say, no, 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 no. Be anchored. Lack of anchor is what has caused many people to backslide. You see somebody is proclaiming something. All of a sudden, the person has turned his mind. Why? There was no anchor. There's a preacher I love so much in one of the big denominations in Nigeria, Assemblies of God. He was one time their general superintendent. Let me not call his name. When I listened to his sermons, it was as good as listening to an end time message preacher. But where is he today? It's nowhere to be found. And in the things of God, you don't expire or retire. Rather, you advance. So you cannot be a preacher in the 90s. In those days, you were preaching. People were giving their lives to Christ. Then now, we can't see you again. And you are still alive. Not that you are sick or anything is wrong with you. Something has happened. No anchor. Are we together? Our God is a God that gives signs to his children. Look at Psalm 74 verse 9. Psalm 74 verse 9. I remember some videos, some Fridays back, the pastor came and was teaching us about signs. How that God gives signs to his children. This is the children of Israel speaking. We see not our signs. There is no more any prophet. Neither is there any among us that knoweth how long. That day, the pastor came up and asked. Some people will tell you that anytime their hand is itching them, that means they're expecting money. Another person will tell you anytime she uses her left leg or her right leg to kick something, something bad is about to happen. God gives his children signs. Are we together? God gives us signs. Even the Bible is a sign for us. Because in 1 Corinthians chapter 10 verse 11, Apostle Paul said things that happened before. 1 Corinthians 10, 11. He said they have happened for our learning. Now, all these things happened unto them for what? For examples. So when you look at the stories in the Old Testament, the stories in the Bible, the apostle is telling us that they are not just there for historical purposes. They are things that we can learn from. You can learn from the story of Samson how to be careful of a Delilah. Is that right? It's a sign. Thank you. I love what you said. It's a sign. So that's what Apostle Paul is teaching us, that in the Bible, Stories that things that have happened in time past are a sign to us that are alive. You can learn from the scriptures how to walk with God. Are we together? In Hebrews 11, he was saying, time will fail me to talk of Barak, of Gideon, of Moses. The Bible was giving a good commentary about men of old that have walked with God so that we can learn from them. So God gives us signs. That is why you also see Romans 15:4. Apostle Paul was saying the same thing in Romans chapter 15, verse 4. How that the things that were written before, Romans 15, verse 4, the things that were written, for whatsoever things were written before, we are written for our what? This is a Bible class. If you are not ready to answer me, maybe you should leave the auditorium for us that are ready to learn. When it's time for worship, you can come back. For whatsoever things were written before, were written for our what? That we through patience and comfort of the scriptures might have hope. The story of Sarah, a woman was barren in 90 years, is a sign that one, there's nothing God cannot do. It's a sign that two, God can never be too late. In fact, the later the testimony, the bigger it becomes. So these things are signs to us. If you are with me, say amen. But now we are also talking about end time signs. When we say that the world is coming to an end, it is because there are signs that make us know that the world is coming to an end. And this is an end time message we live in, church. There are signs. We are not saying it because it is sweet to say. We are saying it because there are signs that causes us to know that the world is coming to an end. End of what? End of two things. End of God's salvation for the Gentiles. And end of the world, mankind, the worldly system. Between the rapture, when the Gentile salvation will end, and between the end of the world, this present world, is about 7 years. So they are all what? End time. I hope you are with me. So end time, end time, end time. The gospel will be with the church, the Gentile church for 2,000 years, thereabouts. It will come, it is coming to an end. And 7 years after that, after the rapture had taken place, the whole of the worldly system, this present world, will also come to an end so that there can be a new world where Jesus is Lord, where a 100-year-old man will be a baby. A new world where there is no sickness, nor pain, nor sorrow. Where there is no Boko Haram. Where you will not have to lock the door of your house. Because everything is perfect peace. That's the millennium. Somebody say amen. So the end of the world, there are signs. So briefly, in the short time we have, we'll look at some of these end time signs. Sign number one. I'm not taking them in order. However you receive them, just note it. Sign number one is what we see in Daniel chapter 12, verse 4. The book of Daniel chapter 12 and verse 4. But thou, O Daniel, shut up the words and seal the book. Even to when? Even to the end time. Is that right? Are you reading with me? He said, many shall run to and fro. And what will happen? The sisters are responding more to me than the brothers. Many shall run to and fro, and what will happen? Knowledge shall be increased. So sign number one, increase in knowledge. Never in the history of mankind has man become so intelligent as he is today. We are living in third world countries. So most of this technological advancement of man, we are not able to experience. Brothers, sisters, man is so intelligent today that they can disprove God. For the past 100 years plus, since the beginning of the 20th century, so we are talking about 1900 till date, about 123 years, mankind has been increasing in knowledge in an alarming rate. Are we together? It is this period of 123 years that mankind developed radio, television, transistors,
letters, automobile, and many other things. Hundreds of years before that time, it was either a horse with a cart, donkey, then probably bicycle. But today, what mankind has been able to achieve in science and technology causes us to know that the world is coming to an end. Now, we are talking of flying cars. We are no more talking of motors moving on the floor. Now, mankind is talking of colonizing another planet. They are no more talking about this world. For the past weeks, I've been excited about a news that I came across. In the world of science, they believe that the universe started with a big bang. Those of us that went to secondary school, you must have heard of what I'm saying. And it was about 13 billion years ago. But in their own, with their own knowledge now, they are even coming to disprove what they've known for hundreds of years. Are we together? We have radio. We have television. In real time now, somebody in Europe is watching us. Somebody in Europe is seeing you and I. You can see them on the screen. It is technology. Are we together? It is for us to see how far man has gone. They keep advancing, advancing, advancing in knowledge. If you come to the medical field, what they can do today, they couldn't do over 100 years ago. Why is it so? This increase in knowledge is necessary because when the Lord will bring the world to an end, we can learn from the days of Noah. The society must get to a level where they feel they are independent of God. Are you with me? And in this generation, mankind has reached that level where they feel they don't need God. You know, the condition of Africa is a blessing in disguise. Because if village people are not pursuing many of us, we will not come to church. But you cannot go to a developed world. You are in Netherlands or England. You are preaching to a white man. And you are saying, every power from my village, fall down and die, Holy Ghost fire. That gospel will not sell there. Any power that says I will not make it, that gospel will not sell there. Countries where if you don't work because you are even a citizen, you are earning money from the government. You are telling me every power. That's not the kind of gospel that will sell there. If you are going to preach there, you must preach the authentic, repent and be baptized in the name of Jesus for the remission of your sins so that you receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. But we know in Africa, we must add village people. We must tell you to come with mirror. We must tell you to come with padlock. Because our own technology is witchcraft technology. But if you go to these advanced countries, it is scientific technology. They are increasing in knowledge. It is what? An end time sign. In this generation, they have robots. Robots that are called humanoids. I think we have some videos. We can be showing some of those videos for us to see how far man is going. Now, let me call that robot brother Chukudi. Can we hear him? That's somebody talking to you. This one even looks. Intelligence. Are we together? Don't worry, you don't have to play the audio. Super artificial intelligence. So if they can achieve these things, why would they think there is a God? They are in space. They are looking up. Their telescope is not seeing anything like heaven. They are seeing the stars. They are seeing the galaxies. It is what? An end time sign. Because this increase in knowledge will lead them to a position, a condition of mind, where they will think they don't need God. They are already saying God doesn't exist. Now they'll prove it to you that where is your God? If we can do this thing, where is your God? It is what? An end time sign. Are we together? Knowledge can make science determine when a woman will have a pregnancy, when she will do this. Why do it? Birth control is a product of knowledge. Birth control is a product of knowledge. And many other things. So that is to cause us to know that what? The world indeed is coming to an end. If you go into the area of military weaponry, there are some bombs on this planet that if 10 are released in different places, this whole earth will be consumed. Nuclear bombs. More advanced than the one that they released in Japan during World War II. That's over 70 years ago. For you to imagine the one that they can make now. Are we together? Science and technology. Product of what? Knowledge. Let's move on. Another end time sign is the prevalence of homosexuality in the society. LGBTQ is a sign. The prevalence of homosexuality in the society is a sign. Homosexuality is an abomination. And when it becomes common in the society, it is a sign of impending doom. We see an example in the story of Lot. If it is one or two or three people in the society that is doing it, we will know that the virus has not spread. It's just among a selected few. But when a whole society embraces homosexuality, brothers and sisters, it is a sign that fire is about to fall. I say, we are blessed in Africa. Forget it. A lot of us that are jackpying, now you know, Sabi. I love Africa, oh, I love Nigeria. Because legally, under the legislation, homosexuality is 14 years imprisonment in Nigeria. See me, I'm preaching against it on the altar. Let me not go and try that in Europe. A baker that makes cake, because he's a Christian, he refused to bake cake for homosexuals. They sued him in America. Even in Canada. Thank you, sir. It is a sign that judgment is coming. And even if it is illegal in Nigeria, we know it is being practiced. And every day it's becoming more and more common. There was something my pastor said that I think I agree with. Of a sudden, there is an increase in men using earring. Of a sudden, why is it so? Now, there are two things about it. Number one, it has disproved you women that think earring is for women alone. Now, you have seen it that it is not for women alone. Because when the midwife brought you out, there was no hole in your ear. You think that is what to make you know who a woman is or a man is. But in this generation, there are as much women wearing earrings than men. As much men, rather, wearing earrings as women. Why? It is also a sign, homosexual. It could be a symbol of communication. Now, we. Because how will a homo identify a homo? There must be a sign. Thank you, sir. It could be. And I believe it is. I'm not saying everybody. We know that some people peer pressure. Even those days, before I became a Christian, there's the magnetic one that we'll put when we are going for a party. It's peer pressure, nothing more. But it is a sign. It is increasing. Are we together? The whole community, global community, is now in the process of embracing homosexuality. You must not speak against them. You must not this. You must, and the worst part is, the most powerful nations in the world are the ones spearheading it. So that if you don't agree with them, they'll look for ways to sanction you and weaken you. It is an end time sign. Let's take a few scriptures. See Genesis chapter 18, verse 16 to 20, for you to understand something. Whenever the whole society embraces homosexuality, brothers and sisters, judgment is coming. And the men rose up from thence and looked towards Sodom, and Abraham went with them to bring them on the way. And the Lord said, shall I hide from Abraham that thing which I do? Seeing that Abraham shall surely become a great and mighty nation, and all the nations of the earth shall be blessed in him. For I know him. Verse 20. Let's go on to verse 20. And the Lord said, because what? The cry. Hang that scripture. The cry of Sodom and Gomorrah is what? And because their sin is what? When the land, when the society reaches this level, the land begins to cry to God. When the society reaches this level, the land begins to cry to God. Are we together? Did God spare Sodom and Gomorrah? The Bible said they have become what? Examples unto us. That's in 2 Peter. Some of us don't know the scripture. They have become examples to us. 2 Peter chapter 2, verse 6. So when the society is and turning the cities of Sodom and Gomorrah into ashes, condemn them with an overthrow, making them an example unto those that after should live ungodly. You know what I mean of that? When the society gets to this level where homosexuality is embraced, practiced, and then they have more rights than the normal people, judgment is about to happen. Because what happened in Sodom and Gomorrah in Genesis 19? If you would do your own thing, do it, leave me alone. I know, say your head no correct. But when you start imposing your stupidity and abomination on me, when you start removing my rights as a human being, telling me I must support your abomination, then judgment is about to strike. That was what happened in Genesis 19. And that is what is happening now. If you can show that video of the gay pride, the LGBTQ pride. In this, see this, show it full screen, please. All this campaign is for homosexuality. Can we have it full screen? Okay. Our IT can't give us that video. For us to see what is going on in some other countries. And brethren, sooner or later, it will be embraced in other countries. It's a fact. Because in Nigeria, there are gay clubs. See all this march? They call it parade, gay pride. Everything. And that flag, that color. You know, don't just send any sticker on WhatsApp. I saw somebody that sent a sticker with that color, and under the sticker is written One Love. I was like, this person does not know what he's promoting. You are just sending a sticker of One Love. You don't know it's a sign among gays. All these whole campaigns to tell you homosexuality. If they burn you well, go there with Bible and be telling them it is a sin. You'll find yourself in prison. The society is embracing it. It is an end time sign. It is a sign that the world is coming to an end. Brethren, the world is coming to an end. It is. We are not talking by, we are telling us facts. So this point in time, everybody should make their calling and election sure. You should know why you go to church and the kind of church you go to. You should define your Christian faith. I pity people who are still compromising their faith in this generation. Of all men, you are most pitiable. The rapture will take place and many Bible carriers will miss it. God is no respecter of anybody. Now is the time to be filled with the Holy Ghost and be perfected. You miss it, you are forever done. So homosexuality is a sign. Briefly, look at Ezekiel 16, verse 49 and 50. Still on homosexuality. Ezekiel 16, verse 49 and 50. What does it say?
Oh, I wish you could have a faster person on the system. Ezekiel 16, verse 49 and 50.
Behold, this was the iniquity of thy sister Sodom. Pride, fullness of bread, and abundance of idleness was in her and in her daughters. Neither did she strengthen the hand of the poor and needy. See her sins, and they were haughty. The sins in verse 49, he did not judge them. But when he reached the one of verse 50, he said, they were haughty and committed abomination before me. Therefore, what did I do? I took them away as I saw good. They committed other sins. Like I always say, before a society we reach homosexuality or even a person, it simply means they have graduated from the level of fornication. They have drank the water of fornication. They are so filled that they want to explore something new. So that's what the Bible is saying. When they were committing other things, God did not talk. But when he reached abomination of homosexuality, he sent judgment. Parents, be careful the cartoon your children watch. If you will give them cartoon and it is not a Christian cartoon, watch it first. Because many cartoons and children movies, Disney Channel, Nickelodeon, many of them, they are promoting homosexuality. And children, not even children, even youths from 25 below, they are in their formative years. A child is in his formative years. How you train him is what he becomes tomorrow. But many of us have left the training of our children to TV. I pity us. May God show us mercy in this generation. Another sign, what we see in Daniel chapter 12, verse 10. Sign number 3. Daniel chapter 12, verse 10. What does it say? Many shall be purified and made white and tried. But what will happen? The wicked shall do what? Some people are not reading with me. The wicked shall do what? And none of the wicked shall understand, but the wise shall understand. People will become more wicked. It's an end time sign. People will do what? Become more wicked. Look at Matthew 24, verse 12. Matthew chapter 24, verse 12. What does it say? And because what? Iniquity shall... Oh, church, you're not reading with me. See, anybody that is preaching always expects response from the congregation. That is the sign that you are flowing with him. If you're not responding, you're telling me, go and sit down. I'll go and sit down. It's not by force. Because iniquity shall what? Iniquity will increase. People will become more wicked. Sin will increase. Are we experiencing it today? In olden times, in a community, in a street, everybody knows themselves. You know the neighbor of the next compound, you know the neighbor of this, you know the neighbor of this. There was just this humanity among human beings. But in this generation, humans are like beasts. Are we together? This is the generation where your best friend will follow you to somewhere and buy a drink for you. And inside that drink, my death sentence. This is the generation where your closest friend will go behind you and spoil a marriage proposal. This is the generation where your Mazi Chinonso is the one behind the whole family. People are more wicked. Iniquity will abound. People will become more lawless. Early this morning, Texas in America, a gunman is on the run now. He just entered the place and killed 5 people. Cold blood. It's nothing. It doesn't mean anything to some people anymore. People will become more wicked. It is happening. You hardly see somebody that wants to help somebody for free in this generation. How many people still take free lifts? You see a car going, you're stranded. In this generation, we know they try them. Both you that is driving the car, you are afraid of helping somebody. And then you that you are stranded, you are afraid of stopping the car before they will carry you and take you to Baba's house and cut off your head. That is what we are seeing. Iniquity shall abound. It is bound to happen. Man will be more wicked. Man will be more wicked. In this generation, everybody is on my own. Now let me, I know, my family, my people. There is no more this sense of communal love among human beings. Everybody is a suspect, even in the church. It is an end time sign. And it will continue to get worse and worse. This is the generation where somebody will package drugs and say it's antibiotics. And it is all manner of chemicals. And then somebody will ingest it before you know. Emergency ward. But somebody is happy and making money. You saw the video of people frying granite with, is it petrol or acid? Why? Quick gain. Almost everything that is sold in the market, drugs or something, most are fake, especially in this part of the world. In B to make money, many men don't care how many heads go for it, as long as I have the money. And what will you use the money to do? At the end, they'll go to club, go and drink, they build house, buy car. And then the worst part is they'll come to church and be doing as if it is God that gave them. Baba God, I thank you. Money rituals, we say, Baba God, that your hand work, money rituals. People will become more wicked. That's what we see in 2 Timothy chapter 3. Shall we see it from verse 1? 2 Timothy chapter 3 from verse 1. It's an end time sign. This know also, that when last days, what will happen? Perilous, dangerous. Hey. Dangerous times, perilous times, wicked times shall come. What will happen? Let's read on. Men shall be lovers of their own selves, covetous, boasters, proud, blasphemers, disobedient to parents, unthankful, unholy, without natural affection, truth breakers, false accusers, incontinent, fierce, despisers of those that are good, traitors, edgy, high-minded, lovers of pleasures more than lovers of God. Having a form of godliness but denying the power thereof. It is in this generation. Oh God. This generation is finished. It's polluted. You know all the apps and social media apps that pollute people. To access pornography is as easy as anything now. You don't work for it. In fact, all manner of advertisement to come. There's a particular application on Android phone that I hate. Phoenix. Phoenix app and one other one. Scooper and one other one. Because if you open it, the first thing you see is something immoral. I said one day I tried to be on TikTok. 90% of the things I saw was immoral things. Immoral jokes. That's what many people will see and laugh. And yet, it is polluting you. May God help us. Let's move on, because of time. Sign number 4, Matthew 24, verse 23 and 24. Matthew chapter 24, verse 23 and 24. Then, if any man shall say unto you, lo, here is Christ, or there, believe it not. Verse 24, for there shall arise what? False Christ. And false prophets, and shall show great signs and wonders. Ah, in so much that if it were possible, they shall deceive the very. Ah, this is a great sign that we cannot overlook. False Christ and false prophets, sign 4. When he says false Christ, he does not say false Jesus Christ. Not Jesu of Oyigbo or Jesu of Agege. Not Guru Maharaj or Olumba Olumba. Christ means anointed. Are we together? So when he says there shall arise false Christ, he's saying there shall arise false anointed ones. And the prophet there is not prophet in the order of Prophet Sydney, Prophet Sunday, no. He's speaking of preachers. Because anybody that is saying God says is prophesying. So he's speaking of preachers. False anointed ones and false preachers. Of course, everybody in this church knows what we are saying. 99% of Christendom is made up of false anointed ones and false preachers. 99%. Even if some of them are genuinely anointed, they are false preachers because they are preaching error. This is the situation we have found ourselves in this generation. You heard the story of the pastor from Kenya, Abi, that caused the death of how many people? Told them to starve to meet Jesus. He's a who? He's a false Christ, a false preacher. That they should starve to meet Jesus. And then his people are dying, but him is alive. He's healthy. That is what we are seeing in this generation. What about the ones that will demonstrate power, 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 and they will tell you to continue in your worldliness? You go to church, there is no sermon against sin. There is no sermon that touches the heart and the soul of the Christian. We are sinners, but we come to church to become saints. And it happens by what? The preaching of the word. He said, thy word sanctify them. That he said that he might present himself a glorious church without wrinkle by the preaching, by the washing of water, which is what? The word. Then instead of us to wash ourselves with clean water, we are washing ourselves with muddy and dirty water. Then we are adding more death to ourselves. You go to church, nothing is preached about holiness, about sin. It's all motivational speaking. I can do it. I believe. I can. I believe. And they are motivated. And you think that is the gospel. That is not the gospel. It might be a beautiful motivational talk, but it is not the gospel of Christ. Anytime you go to church and there is no cross-checking within, that service is a waste. You didn't come to church. When men of old saw the glory of God, the first encounter they usually have, they fall down dead. That means they see that they are not worthy. But in this generation, we come to church a sinner, and then sin is now practiced in the church. False, all because of false Christ and false prophets, false anointed ones and false preachers. No, it doesn't matter. I heard a woman that was preaching about women wearing trousers and was saying, hey, that is your doctrine in your church. All manner of things. Big names. The popular men and women of God in this generation, they are false. They are, without apology, they are false. The simplest things for our salvation, Acts chapter 2 verse 38, how many of them preach it or know it? That's the most basic formula for salvation. Repent and be baptized in the name of Jesus and you receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. How many of them know it? When they come and tell you, say after me. Just say, I believe. Oh, you're not born again. You want the Holy Ghost. You see, he's in you. You are the one just holding yourself. Anything that comes to your mouth as you begin to pray, say it. Okoko, okoko, okoko. This guy doesn't want the Holy Ghost. Let me try, Brother Chibike. You want the Holy Ghost? Orilea Papa, Orilea Papa, Orilea Papa. Surely, praise the living God. That's a false preacher. Giving you false Holy Ghost. When Jesus told them, go and tarry in the upper room until you are endued with power from on high. When this angel tells you, you see it's already in you. You know, you believe. You have eternal life. Just say it. That person wants to send you fast to hellfire. That is what we see in this generation. Time will fail us to talk more. Let's go ahead. Another sign is the movement of the gospel from the east to the west. That is from Matthew chapter 24, verse 27. There is a prophecy that the Lord Jesus gave in Matthew chapter 24, verse 27. Many of us just read it. We don't know it's a prophecy. Can we have it on the screen? Matthew chapter 24, verse 27. It says, for as the lightning cometh out of the east and shineth even unto the west, so shall also the coming of the Son of Man be. This is talking about what? The coming of the Son of Man. And he says that how will his coming be? When the sun rises, it rises in the east. And when it sets in the west. What sun are we talking of here? It is the gospel. They started from the east. Jerusalem, where they started preaching in Israel, and the movement of the gospel will end in the West. It ended in the West, in America, in that last move of God to restore back the gifts to the church. What is popularly known in history as Azusa Street Revival, where Pentecostalism was restored back. So the Lord is telling us how light travels and how the gospel light will travel from the East to the West is a sign for his coming. In addition to the Azusa Street Revival, the ministry of Brother Abraham was also in the West. In the last century, the 20th century, God used, in fact, not just the last century, from the 18th, 19th, and 20th century, God used the nation of America mightily in the work of the gospel. It is from that country you have churches like Baptist, Presbyterian, Methodist triumphed in that country. Then when Pentecostalism came, it happened in America. All your Pentecostal church, the Pentecostal move of God came from America. The gospel light set in the West. It is an end time sign. Many of us don't usually catch this one, but we'll keep emphasizing it. It is what? An end time sign. Let's go on. Another sign, sign number 6. Israel becoming a nation. Sign number 6. Israel becoming a nation. For a very long time, the people of God, Israel, didn't have their homeland to themselves. It started with the Assyrian captivity. That is in the Old Testament, over 600 years before Jesus was born. Then it continued with the Babylonian captivity. But God restored them after the captivity of Babylon. But it is only two tribes, the southern tribes, that were restored, the tribe of Judah. And they were the ones that were alive in the days of Jesus, that were in the land rather in the days of Jesus. But they did not last long in the land. Remember when they were telling Pilate, let his blood be upon us and upon our children. And Jesus prophesied of their scattering, of their desolation. So in AD 70, I'm giving us history. The Roman Empire scattered and destroyed Jerusalem. Took all the Jews and dispersed them around the world. So since AD 70, till just a few years ago, they did not have the land of Israel to themselves. Why do you think there's so much contention about the land? You see Palestinians fighting for the land, and Arabs are supporting the Palestinians because the Arabs feel the land is theirs. But the Jews know that this land belonged to them. It was the God of our fathers that removed us from the land because of our sins. And he has promised he will restore us. In 1948, since AD 70, 1948, over 1,800 years, Israel did not have their homeland to themselves. But in 1948, they became a nation again. It is a sign. Why is it a sign? In Hosea chapter 6, verse 1 to 3, he said, after 2 days, he will do what? Revive us. Now, listen very well. This is why it is a sign. Listen. God, the gospel will not go back to Israel until God is done with the Gentiles. If you know that, say amen. Our regular church members know that. Now, there's another thing you should know. Israel will receive the gospel as a nation, not as individuals, as we Gentiles. So what is it? They must be restored back to their homeland first before they will be revived spiritually. That is what is depicted in Ezekiel 37, the dry bones. When Ezekiel saw the dry bones, God told him to speak. He spoke. The bones came together, the flesh covered them, but something happened. There was no breath in them. Now that breath is the revival, but the coming together of those dry bones to form a man is the restoration to their homeland. Now that Israel has become a nation, it is telling us that they are about to have their revival. And if they will have their revival, it is a sign that the world is coming to an end. Because before their revival will start, you and I will go to the marriage supper. And then 7 years after the revival starts, the world ends. Jesus Christ comes to take the kingdom. So the restoration of Israel to our homeland is an end time sign. You can read Ezekiel 37 when you get home. Now, number 7. I have just 8 that I'll drop here. Let's be fast because of time. Number 7. The preaching of the gospel as a witness to all nations. The witness of the gospel to all nations is a sign. That is from Matthew chapter 24, verse 14. Matthew 24, verse 14. Can we see it briefly? And Jesus went forth. Matthew 24, verse 14. Not Matthew 14, 14. Matthew 24, 14. This gospel of the kingdom shall be preached in all the world as a witness unto all nations, and then shall the end come. Matthew 24, 14. And this gospel of the kingdom shall be preached in all the world. For what? He's not saying that there'll be a worldwide revival. It is for a witness unto all nations. And what will happen? Then shall the end come. Now, how is this achieved? Thank God for the internet. If there's any good thing the internet has done for us, is to propagate the gospel. It is through this internet and satellite technology that all over the world, people are watching us and are fellowshipping with us even right now. Somebody can be in communist China where Christianity is not allowed, and yet in his bedroom he's secretly watching Bright TV, and in that place he's receiving the Holy Ghost. Somebody can be in Saudi Arabia and is hearing the gospel. And that is what is going on in this generation. It is an end time sign. Yes, in some countries the internet is regulated, but how well can you regulate it? Even if you block some apps from working, there's something they call VPN. For instance, when Twitter was banned in Nigeria, some Nigerians were still tweeting. They were using VPN. They were tweeting. So what can the government do to stop the internet? Practically little. So it lets us know that the witness of the gospel is an end time sign. Finally, sign number 8, the lukewarmness of believers. The lukewarmness of believers. Revelation chapter 3, verse 14 to 21. The lukewarmness of believers is an end time sign. Unto the angel of the church of the Laodiceans write, this thing said the Amen, the faithful and the true witness, the beginning of the creation of God. I know thy works, that thou art neither cold nor hot. I would thou art cold or hot. So then, because thou art lukewarm and neither cold nor hot, I will spew thee out of my mouth. Because thou sayest, I am rich and increased with goods, and have need of nothing, and knowest not that you are wretched, miserable, poor, blind, and naked. I counsel thee to buy of me gold and tried in fire, that thou mayest be rich. And so on. You can read to verse 21. Brethren, this is, in this generation, many of us are lukewarm. Believers are not making the Lord happy. Believers. And when I mean believers, I'm not talking of those that believe the false prophet. I'm talking of you and I that have received the truth. Many of us are lukewarm. It is lukewarmness that still causes us to be in and out. We can't take a stand. It's lukewarmness. When you want to know the true estate of a Christian, especially a member of Bread Assembly, attend their ceremonies that they do outside the church. Whether the ones that they attend or the ones that they are hosting, and see whether sister will cover up, and see whether under that scarf is a godly, modest hair, or whether it's a red or gold colored Brazilian hair that is under that scarf. Wait till you see them on Saturday. Lukewarmness. You come to church and sing ba 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 ba. You come and drop offering. But when you leave the church compound, you change attire. Many of us are guilty of it. There are sisters here that have cortex on their nails painted, living like the world. There are brethren looking at me now. If you should bring out our phones and start doing inspection, the things I will see on your phone, I will follow that anointing 21 times. It is an end time sign. We will receive the gospel, but we cannot leave it. So we are the ones that will make the category of when the saints shall march to heaven. We are the ones that will sing, oh no, are thy known. Because we received it, but we cannot produce the life. The Bible says, not the hearers of the word are just before God, but the doers of the work. That you come to Bride Assembly and listen to the sermon of Pastor Moses does not confer upon you automatic righteousness. It is what you do with that gospel you receive that makes you righteous. Many of us in our working places and our business places, we are far from Jesus. Lukewarmness is an end time sign. You can dance and praise God in the church, but when I jam you outside, we will take a second look. Because it is a shocker that first hits you. Now we don't even care again. We are ministers, we now have shock absorber. Anything goes. Yesterday, in a wedding ceremony of our sister, I saw a church member that had red hair, red attachment, red weave on, and it was long, red, red. And if you see the gown she wore, I had to look again whether she was truly a sister or a sister. The difference between sister and sister, I had to look well. Lukewarmness. This is how lukewarm believers are, that because we want to make money, there's no more integrity. Brothers, because we want to make money, we don't have integrity again. Others are doing it, doesn't mean I should do it. I should make a difference. What makes you a Christian? What does it mean to carry the cross? Part of the cross could be, if everybody is saying that thing is Japan and Germany, you know the truth, you should be sincere to your customers. That you will sound different and odd. I tell you, you might lose some customers at first, but if you stand on that thing, God is going to restore you and revive you and catapult you. You cannot stand for God and God will turn his back on you. The lukewarmness of Christians is an end time sign. Where is the brotherly love? Where is the zeal that we used to have? Where are the days that when you come inside the church and see a brother, joy comes in your heart? Now, there are people that will sit down. You can't even say hello or good morning to people sitting around you. And you think that's Christianity. I like to be on my own. You know me. I don't like these people in bride. It is a manifestation of your carnality. It's an end time sign. Believers will become lukewarm. Where we read was the last message to the final church before Jesus comes. And in that church, they had pushed Jesus outside. Lukewarmness of believers. Come to church on Sunday, but on Monday, especially on Saturday. Why Saturdays? Saturday is a revealer of secret things in Bride Assembly Church. Lukewarmness of believers is an end time sign. Don't let it catch you. So this and many more are end time signs. So what is the purpose of this entire message? Is to let you know that truly we are at the end time. And when we say end time, we are talking by revelation. We are speaking factually. We are not telling you what cunningly devised fables or what we think. We are telling you what is true. So what is expected of us now is what? To make our calling and election sure. Be sure you are filled with the Holy Ghost. Be sure that if Jesus comes now, or even if you die before he comes, you will be rapturable. And the Lord will bless us in Jesus' name. Can we put our hands together and be on our feet? If you have any question, join us tomorrow night by 7 p.m. Ask the pastor. Great is thy faithfulness. Let's be on our feet. Have you been blessed? Shout hallelujah if you've been blessed. It's a thanksgiving service. Has the Lord been faithful to you? Oh, I didn't get a response. Has the Lord been faithful to you? Has the Lord been good to you? Put those hands together for the faithful God as we sing that song.
Great is thy faithfulness.
Oh, yes.
Oh, Lord, my Father, there is no shadows of dawning within.
If it's been faithful to you, confess it, confess it.
Thou changest not, thy compassions they fail not. As thou hast been, thou forever will be. Oh, great is thy.
Oh, yes. Has it been faithful?
Great is thy.
The fact that you are alive is a sign of his faithfulness.
Morning by morning, new mercies I see.
Summer and winter.
Summer and winter. Springtime and harvest. Sun, moon and land. Cross the abode. Joy in a race. With an evil witness.
Oh, yes, Lord.
To thy grace. Oh, great is thy faithfulness. Great is thy faithfulness. Morning by morning, new mercies I see. All I have needed, thy hands has provided. Great is thy faithfulness, Lord unto me. A pardon for sin, a peace that endureth.
Oh, yes.
Thy own dear presence to and to God, strength for today, and hope for tomorrow. Blessings combined with 10,000 pieces.
Hallelujah!
Great is thy
Lord, unto me. Has he not been faithful to us?